All right. Here we are, Richard. The end of an era.
Those 10 weeks went by very quickly.
They did. They did. Absolutely and sadly. Quite sadly. But here we are, 10 weeks all over. We had a nice break, Memorial Week, to drag it out.
I guess technically 11 weeks.
Dragged it out a little bit. But now here we are. What is it? Season 4 now is all done? Season 4? That's
season
it?
Season 4 is all done.
It's all wrapped up. And what are your initial thoughts on this last episode?
Oh, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I really liked it a lot.
They tied it together quite well. And to begin with, have we seen on the intro, specifically like the music and everything and the map, have we seen the Moat Cailin assembly happen? Or is that the first time?
I think it's happened before.
Oh, has it? Okay, I just didn't notice it before. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's...
That's on me. All right.
Before.
Okay. It looked cool, though. Well, that's it. I hadn't seen it before. It looked neat. And what stood out for you the most this episode?
Oh, just... Well, I mean... I no Lady Stoneheart, which was very disappointing. But in saying that, I understand that maybe they're saving her for next season. Maybe season episode one opener. Maybe cold open, which would make kind of more sense because then it sets up that character for that season as opposed to letting it be a cliffhanger for this season.
I was kind of thinking the same thing because I was thinking, you know what? In retrospect, it may have been simply too big of a cliffhanger. It's just too nuts. Like, to kind of bring it in next season, I think would set the tone really well, because it's a very dark season, I think. At least I'm expecting it to be. I mean, no one's in a good spot. Nobody. I mean, no one's even remotely close to where they'd want to be. And I think things are even worse for everyone than they've ever been. Which is hard to believe, but I think for the most part that's true. And so I think it'd be a good way to set the tone. And also, I just think if they'd ended it this season, it just would have been too much. It would have been like if they ended last season on the Red Wedding and there was no follow-up. Like, that would have just been a killer way to end the whole show.
And well, I guess... There. Well, I mean, when you know, what's funny is every Monday after a Game of Thrones episode, there's literally 35,000 articles written about the episode.
Right.
So
yeah.
This past Sunday was no exception. There's like literally 50 million articles since it was the season finale.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there was way more articles. So I read all of them.
You read all 50 million?
And basically, the director, I read all 50 million. I'm done. It only took me like 2 days. But I didn't leave the house or eat or drink or shit. So I had to go to the hospital.
But Alex Graves, what did he say?
Oh, Alex Graves, he asked because he had directed.
He did a few.
I think
of them.
He directed the Red Wedding episode. I think he actually did do that episode.
Was it him? I don't know.
I can't remember. Well, he knew
ahead,
it was
though.
Coming.
Go ahead.
And he constantly... He was asking David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, you know, what's the deal with Lady Stoneheart? And they kept stonewalling him.
Hello!
And saying, like,
zing.
We don't know. We don't know what we're going to do with her yet. We have no ideas. So, I feel like... I don't know, and there's been articles written like because Cold Hands has not been part of the show at all, he's just not an important character. So maybe like all the zombified characters aren't that important at the end of the day, even within the pages of Martin's books, which will never be finished, by the way. The show will overtake the books. We've all pretty much agreed. Our agreements on that.
It was David Nutter who did, or Nutter or whatever, who did The Red Wedding.
No, Neuter.
Neuter? Neuter.
David Neuter.
But yeah, he did that.
That shit.
Yeah, he did that.
Okay, whatever. I don't care, whatever. But try to upstage me. Try to make me look a fool.
As much as possible. That's my goal.
I'll have the head, thine face on a spick.
But basically, yeah, Graves does not know, but he has asked, and I don't think we'll really get a firm answer on that till next season. But
right.
I think if we don't see her next season, it's not happening.
Well, they're even saying that maybe she's season six stuff. But then again, I mean, Brienne needs something to do. Brienne and Podrick, their storyline pretty much ends with Lady Stoneheart and the brother without banners. So it's like they have to come into contact with that to get their story across.
But I'm kind of wondering what it will say if they don't meet them. You know, it must mean that what happens with Jaime is a non-issue. And it's maybe sort of a red herring that the book sets up to go nowhere and the show just doesn't care. So it's like, well...
Well, then again, I mean, with what the great season finale and the way that it worked out was, you know, Brienne and the Hound had that badass fight, which was probably one of the best fights I've ever seen on television, bar none.
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic.
And maybe even in film. Like, I don't think I've seen a fight that good in probably a decade.
Well, one thing that stood out for me in that fight is there was never that moment where someone, specifically the Hound, has a real moment to kill her, and he just vamps. But that never happens. I mean, as soon as he has a shot at it, she comes right back, and vice versa, and it's this whole just epic melee that does not stop. And I like how at first she has a sense of honor and respect for, you know, the quote-unquote rules of combat, and then eventually she just kind of gets to his level of fighting, and you know, it kind of goes from there. But I did like
the
that evolution of the fight.
The hero.
Yeah, I thought
the old fight a man's ear off and kick him in the balls, but just, you know, hey, the Hound isn't afraid to kick a girl in the cooter.
No, and I did like how she screamed. I mean, wow. That actress does a great job screaming pain. She does it very convincingly.
That hurt me, too.
Of watching that, yeah, the way she just yells, it's like, ouch.
Yeah, that's pretty painful.
But I also like their exchange, too, between the two characters. I thought that was really well written. And,
well, it made more sense, too. Because in the books, that never happened.
No, and in the books, it's just some no-name. The kind of...
Right.
They wounds him a little bit, and then eventually he just kind of dies. But, or, you know, whatever happens.
And,
but...
Brienne is the one that comes into contact with that biter and the other guy that was in...
Borge or whatever, yeah. The guy that he meets later.
Or
yeah.
Season 2. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and she killed them, I think, right?
Yeah, and this, the version, he kills them, so it's sort of this back and forth, but no, I thought that was really well done.
Well,
I mean,
it makes more sense. It just, yeah, it works better.
Yeah, I thought the build-up was great. I mean, Brienne and Arya having that connection over fighting, I thought was nice. A little bit of nostalgia there for both of them, and the Hound, I think, you know, doesn't quite know how to be a good person yet, but he's doing his best, and there's sort of a sad, forlorn sense with him, I thought, that was nice, even though it's a little bit late for him, but he is trying, which I thought was kind of a cool bit.
And, right.
You know, I don't think he'll ever be the father figure she really needs, but I don't know. I think in the end, she meant more to him than he did to her.
Right. So. Well, the Hound finds his redemption in the Stark girls.
Yeah, even if, you know, very briefly and I think a little bit ill-conceived. But it is there, yeah. That redemption is there for him.
But again, I mean, it makes... The show does such a better job at capturing the essence of these characters, even better than the books. Because the books, a lot of these characters are pretty terrible on the surface. They're not that great.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Brienne storyline was just one long travelogue of how shitty everything is.
Well, it still is in the books.
Oh, in the books.
That hasn't changed yet, yeah.
But it's just the books are just so slow. It's just... So what I don't like about that is that in the books, there's just no character for her. It's just her kind of reciting what she sees. And in the show, I think they do a better job of giving her some backstory and some purpose and a little bit of empathy. And I think that the books capture some of that early, but once she starts writing her travelogue, it kind of ends. And you get nothing more. Whereas here, that bit with Arya was a nice bit of character for her. And, you know, and again, she's trying to find redemption or some kind of purpose as well with these Stark girls, and she doesn't quite find it this season. And with the way the show's going, I do wonder if she'll run into Sansa at some point. I don't see that being an impossibility.
Well, again, I mean, Sansa has not been in the books, or has she? In the books in 4 or 5, I can't remember.
I think she might have a chapter or two. Just to kind
of much.
Reference where she's at, but that's speaking out of turn. I'm not even sure if that's that much in there.
I don't think she is.
She might be in Dance of Dragons, like a little bit, or Dance with whatever.
I can't remember.
But I'm going to look it up real quick. But another thing, too, that I was interested in getting your thoughts on, because I thought in the show, they left the Jamie Cersei relationship in, I thought, a surprisingly good spot, and I was wondering where you think that will be come next season.
Because I read the chapters, the last chapter basically with Jamie and Cersei basically says, you know, you don't have a cock. Like, I have the cock, you don't. It was very much like, it's the speech she gives her father. Just reversed. She doesn't say that Jamie says her dad. And that scene where she goes to Jamie and basically says, I don't care, that doesn't happen in the book at all.
No. So, I mean, to me, they're in a much better spot than in the books. Because in the books, they're so incredibly distant.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they never... After this book, they're done with each other. I mean,
pretty much. In the books. Yeah,
she comes to him later out of desperation, but for the most part, it's over. I mean, there's nothing left. Whereas here, we end with them, you know, having, you know, no question, very consensual sex.
Rape-free sex.
I mean, just getting it on. So, right. Which, again, I think is questionable for the Jamie character, who I think is trying to step away from that place of, you know, kind of hooking up with his sister and being whispered about behind closed doors and everything. You know, trying to regain a sense of honor that he himself feels like he's lost.
Right.
So that was kind of an odd step for him again, on top of the whole rape scene earlier in the season.
I think now, actually, because you say that, with the next season, the issue that's going to come out of this is that Jaime let Tyrion go.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
So he helped Tyrion escape. So that's going to be kind of the catalyst that wrecks that relationship, more than likely.
I'm hoping for good.
I think that's where they're going with that. Like, right. That is what basically the camel's back. And I don't think she gives a shit that her dad died. I don't think that's going to phase her, but I think it's more or less the Jaime picks Tyrion over her, essentially, to let him go.
Right, yeah. I think that'll be...
That'll be probably what causes her to snap.
So...
Yeah. So, but, I mean, kudos to Lena Headey, who just knocks it out of the park with Cersei, like, every episode. She makes so much better than she is in the books.
In the books,
Cersei's kind of just such a bitch. You can't have any sympathy for her. And Lena gives her a human portrait. I mean, the books, not so much. The books, she's more of a villain, and she's kind of like a stone-cold bitch. You can't really have any emotional connection to her. I don't know.
Yeah, and in the next book, her only mode is crazy. That's all she's at. But I think Lena Headey will definitely give some depth to that book and that storyline that should make it easier to swallow. My only problem with that, though, is that it's such a major part of that book that it's just... obviously, they're going to pull a ton from Dance with Dragons.
They already did.
Yeah, they have. They're going to pull a ton.
The Mountain is basically from Dances with Dragons, or A Dance with Dragons, because he's being turned to the Frankenstein monster, essentially. They set that up already. They set up the dragons, Drogo's out there eating, you know, children, burning children.
Which I thought was a great scene. I didn't quite care for the bit where she just completely gives in to that guy wanting to be a slave again. I mean, that felt...
Well, that's what's going to happen. I mean, she's not the best leader. She's pretty much, okay, whatever.
She just gives Sin so easily. It's not like, hey, I'll figure this out, buddy. Calm down. Yeah. She's just like, go ahead. Whatever.
Here's the deal. I'm going to let you open up a falafel store. You're going to be the slave owner of a falafel hut.
Yeah, I don't know. That felt a little weak. But I did enjoy the bit where she puts the dragons away. That was a nice close to her season. I don't know if... there's a lot to read into that there, but I did think it kind of says a little bit about her character. You know, she's definitely kind of isolating herself because a lot of the people she used to trust are all gone, or they're just not around anymore. So I think she's more alone now than she ever was.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in that throne room scene, for example, Semley, or whatever his name is, he barely put up a fight when she tried to... when she gave in to that slave's demands. He was like, whatever. Okay.
He's kind of too old, and he's just along for the ride now.
Yeah, so I think now more than ever, she is on her own. So, that'll play...
But I did like Varys, like, putting Tyrion on the boat, and Varys was going to go back to the Red Keep, and then the bells rang, and he was just like, oh, shit. And he turns around, gets on the boat, sits with the crate.
Well, I think he's on the dock. He's not in the boat. But yeah.
No, he's in the boat. He's on the ship. Because they show the crate going onto the ship. And the next scene is he gets on the ship and he's sitting with Tyrion.
Yeah, I saw that. I just wasn't sure if it was actually Tyrion that was on that crate getting lifted up or if it was just there.
He puts him in the box.
Oh, no, I know. I wasn't sure if that was his crate or if that was someone else. They're just, like, showing the crate going up.
Well, I think it's crate. I think it's his crate.
But I get what you're saying, though, yeah.
It had holes in it. It had breathing holes.
So you think Varys is going to go with him to
wherever? Yeah, I think that actually would be kind of a cool concept. I'd like to see the Varys and Tyrion show next season.
But doesn't he... He has a crucial scene next season, I'm assuming, with Tyrion Lannister.
He can come back for that. Because in the books, he disappears anyway.
That's true. That's a good point, yeah. Good point.
So he gets come back for that. That's an easy fix. We've seen Kevon Lannister once, so I'm sure he'll become a different actor.
I was going to say,
he'll be a bigger part next season. Because he'll just be like the... He'll be part of Cersei's circle of stupid idiots.
Well, he's the only smart one there, but she'll never listen to him, so that's the whole...
No, she angle. Has, like, zero respect for him.
He's a loser.
Yeah.
So there was that material, which is good to discuss. And then what else happened that... we had the Bran storyline wrap up.
Thank God.
And thank God they have those skeletons to make it interesting, because otherwise...
That was actually a really badass scene.
That was great.
I guess they were saying in the sort of the behind the scenes of that the reason why those are actually White Walkers, but they're just so decomposed. They've been sitting there for 1,000 years waiting for Bran to get there. That was the idea. So they've been there for so long that they've rotted down to just the skeleton. So that's why they were like that, because they have been waiting there for 1,000 years because they knew what was coming. So it's kind of a neat idea that, you know, this is all sort of in the Destiny cards. It's becoming a real fantasy laced storyline.
Right.
Ray Harryhausen, that was fun.
No, and I was glad to see that Love Actually kid die, because he was a waste of time.
Well, alive in the book, so I wonder how they're going to do that, handle that later. But we'll never know, because the books will never be finished.
No, so I could care less. Yeah, I'm curious how they play the Three-Eyed Raven, because in the books, he comes across as potentially being evil, so I'm not really sure if they'll be like a gray character, or if he'll be good.
I don't think he's gray. I just think he is essentially, it's like the apathetic god-like creature. It's just he sees everything, he hears everything, but that's it. Like, he can't really change anything.
Well, he's in the books, they're kind of killing Hodor in the books.
When? I don't remember that.
No, well, like, they're kind of like slowly absorbing his like energy or whatever, or his life essence or some shit.
Really?
Like, through the roots. Yeah, because he's like kind of slowly dying.
Really?
Not like full on, but just sort of like he ain't doing as great as he was because he's.
So are we gonna lose Hodor next season?
You know what? They can dump both those characters because they got nothing to do now. It's all over for them. They're very expendable in my mind. They can go anytime.
Right.
Anytime. I'm a little surprised they even let that girl live, because there's nothing going on with her. They get rid of her, too.
Well, no, she's got to meet up with Osha and become lovers.
I could deal with that. That's fine with me.
And, give me off a piece of that.
Oh, and I love the Jon Snow stuff. That was great.
Yeah, with Mance. Yeah, that was really good stuff.
Particularly the Stannis when he came in on the cavalry.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was a fantastic bit of CG. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Well, I guess in the book it was way more elaborate, and it was like night after night of being attacked.
Yeah, it was a long dragged out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stannis basically comes and is the reason why the wall doesn't fall.
But, he's like the major savior, because I was kind of wondering, you know, Mance mentions the fact that he's not dressed for cold weather, so he's definitely not riding from the north to come down to the Castle Black
right.
on the wall. So I'm wondering, basically, they had to spend like hours and hours getting those horses to like exit the cave or the tunnel and line them all up and get them all ready. Just like the amount of effort to go into that must have been nuts.
Yeah,
like, lining them all up like logistically it doesn't make any sense, but it's like whatever. I'll let it go. It's cool.
Well, they eat the horses.
Oh, okay, all right.
Maybe they shot them all. They shot the horses and then cut them up, and you know, you gotta feed all those wildlings.
No, I'm just saying, like, when they, because they had to like charge, they had to like get through the tunnel with the horses, so they gotta like single file them in and then out, and then Stannis has to like line up all the units, and then they attack, and I don't know. It just
sure
seems complicated. And then I liked the tease of the Red Woman and Jon Snow kind of having a face-off there between the fire.
Right.
Because it's a good tease for next season. I mean, obviously, we'll be seeing a lot more of that, so. And it's well done on their part. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of who was that wildling guy? The guy with the big beard, who was like
Giant's Thor's Bane or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be excited to see more of him.
He kind of becomes he's a big character in I think book 5 with Jon Snow.
Oh yeah, he's like one of his main allies.
In that yeah, book, so yeah.
He'll have a major part, and I think that's pretty much everything. Now, going forward into next season, do you think it will end where Dance with Dragons ends?
Probably.
That's my guess, too.
Because there's nothing else they can do. I mean, there really isn't.
Yeah, because I was thinking, Jon Snow-wise, they could end on him being voted Lord Commander, but that's a real stretch. Like, 10 episodes of him just being depressed and then
I don't know.
A vote? That's a long
way to go.
Then
again, they could pull. he could be the Theon Greyjoy of next season and have like four episodes interspaced between the ten.
Maybe. I am
because
thinking, though,
Theon Greyjoy disappeared like midway through this season. You notice that?
Yeah, I was glad to hear him. So sick of him. But I do think, though, I don't see what's his name, Samwell Gamgee's. I don't know.
Yes,
I don't see him leaving Castle Black till like the end of the season or like late. So I think we'll see more of that storyline in like season six.
I don't know.
Maybe
there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on. I mean, I don't know.
It could be a quick boat ride though too. Maybe just like one episode where it's like sailing over and he gets there.
Well, because they still have to set up the Dorne storyline.
Yeah, I think though that overall it probably will end where Dance with Dragons ends. I mean, there might be some stuff left hanging, but
yeah,
there's just nowhere for it to go. Like, there's nothing going on.
Well, there's nothing happens in those next two books.
Yeah,
it's
a lot.
That's like privy to the whole structure of the story. Nothing happens.
Yeah, I mean, even Tyrion's got, in my opinion, not a lot goes on with him.
Oh, well, he comes back in book five, and actually, I think Tyrion has the most that happens, really. He's kind of privy to all the shit that's going down for the next, you know, three books or whatever.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, even though, I mean, that's true, I guess. But I just felt like once he gets on the boat, I think it slows to a real crawl. And then it picks up more, though, when he meets up with whatever his name is, that guy.
But I think that's going to be real quick.
But yeah, I think that stuff is tremendously slow, but once he leaves them it picks up, but it's that's a bit of a long haul. But yeah, I mean, overall though, I think they've been getting very good at trimming, so I do think they'll be able to fit both books in if they want to.
The only problem that I have though is with the show, and it's a small gripe.
Yeah,
they haven't even touched upon the three-headed dragon concept. They haven't touched upon the Jon Snow, who's his mother, mystery. They haven't really even talked about that at all. I mean, they brought it up in one episode of season one, and they've never broached it again. And it's just like, it's such a good builder, like throughout the series. Like that should be like one of the questions that you always want to know the answer to, and you get like slight hints now and again. They haven't done that.
And the three-headed dragon again, I think, is a good point to bring up. That's something I would like, because I call the prophecy stuff. The prophecy stuff is always very interesting as far as the books go. I liked it a lot.
Right, and that's like one of the major reasons why I keep reading the books, is just because I want to see if he ever is going to divulge, you know, who's Jon Snow's mother, and then how, you know, of course it ties into him being one of the three-headed dragon.
Right.
Yeah. And then the other guy is the other head of the dragon, so it's right there. So I want to see that stuff. I hope they go more into that next season, because they don't got a lot of other shit to do, so why not start exploring that? Maybe Melisandre will bring about sort of that point.
Well, I will say, okay, I don't think she will, because she's more into the Lord of Light and like the whatever it's called, that like that guy who's like the wielder of the light, or the sword in the darkness, that the prophecy that's supposed to be Stannis, but it could be anybody. I forget that term in the books. You might know it, that whatever, it's kind of like a very fantasy word to call it. But because I don't think it's part of her religion, that three-headed dragon, so I don't think she'll discuss it. But my guess would be if anyone's
I'm not saying she'll bring the three-headed dragon. I think she'll bring up, you have the blood of King. She'll be the one that sort of sees him for who he really is as a Targaryen. She'll see that he's related to royalty. Not necessarily, she won't say like, oh, the prophecy of the three-headed dragon. She'll just notice that he is actually much more important than he realizes.
I could see that. Okay, and regarding the three-headed dragon, I could see the three-eyed raven mentioning that to Bran, potentially, in his ramblings or discussions with him.
Right.
I think he would be someone that would make sense to me to kind of divulge that a little bit. Or also the, who's that, is she a maester? Or whoever Tyrion meets, that woman. The kind of
Yeah, living. she's a Septa.
She might bring it up potentially.
Maybe,
I could see that. But
if they're even in the show.
Well, the Septa definitely is, because she's being cast, for sure.
Oh, is she? Okay, so that character is going to be in it.
Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I think he's a pretty important character.
Yeah, because I heard, from what I was reading in the casting blogs or whatever, that she's supposed to have clashes with Tyrion, and they're supposed to kind of butt heads a little bit. So
yeah.
So that'll be part of the show. Yeah, that's a good point, though. The prophecies have definitely been very not touched upon at all.
No.
Melisandre's the only one who brings up any of that crap at all. Obviously, to try and push her religion and all that shit. And then, yeah, the whole mother angle was completely ignored, which is too bad, because I think... Ned Stark has some great dreams and some recollections that happen in the first book that divulge a lot of potential clues.
Right.
And none of that ever played out in the first season, and there weren't any kind of hints towards that in later seasons, which was too bad, because I think it was like the Green Seer's dad was with him at the that tower or whatever, with the Sword of the Morning or whatever, when they fought him.
I don't know.
I think so. Well, I'm just saying, like, I believe that was true, and that would have been cool maybe if they had told that story vaguely, and you could have had like another Sean Bean appearance when they're telling the story.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just so, I mean, it's, you can't have it now, but that would have been kind of cool, maybe.
Well, because Bran's going to start hallucinating, going back in time with the weirwoods or whatever the fuck they're called. So maybe they'll bring... Maybe there'll be a little, like, flashbacks to what was going on in the Stark family, maybe.
Maybe.
So maybe we'll get Sean Bean back for a minute. I don't know.
Yeah, because I would like to see that scene, because, I don't know, just the way it was written, it's so short in the books, but it definitely stood out to me. I thought that was actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Because
it just felt like such a powerful moment where they fight this guy who is so legendary, and, you know, you never really see the battle, but you kind of feel its effects on Ned in particular afterwards. Just,
yeah.
I guess it's a moment that always stayed with him. I don't know. Just, I like that a lot. But, yeah, next season, I don't see them being afraid to kind of end the books, essentially. And, you know.
Well, they kind of have to. I mean, there's going to be nothing else to go off of other than the outline they received.
Yeah. So that'll be exciting, I think, really. Because, I mean, they're very ballsy in just kind of being willing to condense a lot of material and add their own. So. I don't see them being afraid to really compress those two books into one season.
Oh, no, for sure. They'll totally do that.
I mean, I think there could be some stuff left out that they save or that, you know, just for any particular reason. But I think for the most part, we'll get everything from those two books next season.
Because, you know, if what they say is true, they're going to be doing 7 to 8 seasons. So we're pretty much at the halfway point now. And they're going to be, after season 5, it's going to be a free-for-all. It's going to be, no one's going to know what's coming. And I kind of like
that. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Because honestly, though, even next season, I'm not convinced that I'm going to know. Because after stuff like seeing them bring that baby to the White Walker's camp, and then the scene with Brienne and the Hound... we just really don't know. I mean, there's potential for every episode now to have stuff that's not in the books and to be completely fresh. So I'm definitely excited. I feel at this point more than any other that people who've read the books are as close to being in the dark as they have been in terms of what's coming next. I mean, really, who knows? We're at that point. And I think that's a great sign of, I think, a great adaptation where even if you know the material, the source material, you don't really know what's coming. So,
and you anticipate it.
Yeah, I mean, you think you know, but like the Brienne Hound bit, if that guy on the internet hadn't predicted that, I would not have seen that coming at all.
Well, it makes sense. It kind of, I mean, well, like they do that. I mean, they connect the characters they've already established. They don't waste anybody, which is what I like about the show. The books waste a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's many characters.
I like that they brought in Noah Taylor to go up to the north. And that was a great bit, a great way to get rid of the character, too, rather than have him just kind of hanging around needlessly. Yeah. I mean, I'm sad to see the actor go, but it worked for the show. So that made a lot of sense. And using that that Arya's friend, the guy from the King's Landing, to be the guy that they leeched, I thought it worked well.
Right, yeah.
As opposed to bringing in that other no-name character to be that guy.
Oh, well, did you know? No Gentry this season. I wonder if he's gone off the ship for...
It seems that way, yeah, because he never made an appearance at all. Which didn't really surprise me, but at the same time, it kind of does confirm that it's like he's gone. I mean, he's not coming back.
No, yeah, probably not.
Although, here's a thought. What if... There's a thought. Because he gets back to King's Landing, we assume, in the show. What if he commits some crime that gets him sent to the wall and he meets Melisandre again?
No.
I don't see it either as being highly probable. But
there's too much. Melisandre's going to have too much going on with Jon Snow, Mance Rayder, Stannis. There's a lot to go on for one season next year.
But I'm just thinking, like, if there were a way to bring him back, that could be a way to maybe.
Yeah, get maybe.
Him around. But I don't think it'll happen. But I mean, it's.
More than likely, he's probably gone for good.
I think so.
Off the show.
I mean, you don't need to kill every single person who's done it with the show. I mean, they don't all need to die. So
you do. You really do.
I mean, I wish, but it is what it is.
That's what makes the show beautiful. They kill everybody.
If only.
Like Hannibal, the season finale of Hannibal.
I still haven't seen that, but you can spoil all you want. I don't.
Oh God, that show's great.
Yeah, I definitely need to finish this season since we're bringing.
That's another example, and I'll bring it up because it sort of dovetails what we're saying about George R. R. Martin, Thomas Harris, who created Hannibal Lecter, the character in literature, and who basically fumbled the ball in the future installments and made Hannibal kind of a cartoon character. The show that Brian Fuller does is just giving Hannibal Lecter again, and he is just a badass motherfucker. And he don't give a shit who he hurts, who he kills. And basically what happens in season two, he basically kills everybody.
Well, right, I mean, read some spoilers for me anyway, because I
have. Well, yeah, he leaves them for dead. They're not dead, but he guts everybody. Everybody gets shot in the throat. He cuts everybody's throat, basically.
Because he kills that one girl again, essentially, the girl from season one.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, that was a great reveal, because in the whole season, basically, Will Graham is. He's getting into. He's basically becoming Hannibal Lecter's best friend. And they actually do form this very, very almost homoerotic relationship. And there's like sequences in the show where like he's banging that the female therapist, the other girl,
right?
The
girl
from Devil.
Yeah.
And Hannibal's boning her. And there's a sequence where it's basically the way it was. It's like a threesome with Hannibal Lecter and her.
Hmm.
It's very surreal and bizarre, and it's just, it's kind of an interesting threesome, like a weird menage a trois. It's very bizarre.
Hmm. All right.
But it's a great show. But yeah, basically Hannibal gets away with everybody bleeding to death in his home. So he's going to Europe, and that's where season three is going to take off, I guess.
Yeah, I do like the show a lot because it doesn't really reference the movies a lot, or
The beauty of it.
Like those tropes.
They've essentially rewritten the mythos of Hannibal, but it's all from the book. So pretty much a lot of it's already been established, but they've taken what was shitty about it and made it good, like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's really
shitty
its own
aspects
animal.
Of the books and made it good. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to watch the movies. You don't need to read the books. It's its own thing.
Oh hell no! Yeah, you know, that's the great thing about Game of Thrones and Hannibal. You don't need to know about the other source material because they will reference it. Will be part of the story, but it has nothing to do with what's going on in their adaptation. So basically, the writers are adapting the material and basically remolding the clay and making it way better.
Yeah, I think so, especially with Hannibal, because I think it would have been so easy for a show like that just to watch the movies and be like, that's what we need to do. That's it. Just do that.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm completely surprised by how much I love and like Hannibal, the show. I thought it was going to be a mistake when I first read about it.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be terrible, but it's actually the only other show I watch that's on network television. I don't watch anything else. I don't like anything else.
Yeah, I mean, when I first heard about it, I thought, oh gosh, another cash in on like an old movie franchise no one cares about.
Right.
And then I saw it, and I was just blown away.
It's a great show.
Top tier quality, for sure. So,
hats off to those guys. Better than any movie out. Better than any movie out.
It's pretty hands daring, down. Especially as far as like a major network show goes. It's very daring, I think.
Oh, it's super violent. Yeah, I think it's probably more violent than Walking Dead, and this is a network TV show. The amount of violence they get away with is just shocking.
I think part of that's because no one watches it. So it's like, well, what do they care?
That's fine by me. No one watching. Let's put some Gillian Anderson titty in there.
Is she still alive or did they kill her off yet?
Yes, he's on the plane with her going to Europe. It's a great reveal. Because you think she betrayed Hannibal and and then she disappears and then she shows up to sort of put the final pieces in motion.
That's
this
awesome.
Giant chess game that it's great season.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm excited for next season without watching the finale. So, but I will still watch it. I need to see what goes on.
Sure.
But yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
All right. Well, let's go to the bar and drink the memory of George R. R. Martin because he's not going to live to see season 8.
Ain't happening.
Not going to happen. To Westeros, till we meet again next year.